Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to go into the Word of God. I know some of you are worried. I've been limping lately. I have got a bunion. It ain't no funyon. But I'm going to get it taken care of probably next year. So if I limp for a little while, I'm perfectly fine. I'm doing all the other type of stuff. But I inherited it from my mom. God bless her. But so that's enough. So you, because some people say, oh, you okay? I'm fine. But it hurts. Anyway. Okay, we're going to go into Acts chapter 27, verses 25 through 44. I am excited because today is going to be a day for some folks who have been going through storms. They're going to understand what God is doing, and perhaps they'll make it through the storm with your help and with mine. We're going to start reading verse 25, and we'll read the responding verses. And so here we go. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told me. Now, when the 14th night had come, as we had driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day, and you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And in all, there were about 276 persons on the ship. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the prow struck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. Verse 44 together. And the rest on the boards and parts of the ship. And so it was, they all escaped safely to land. Let's pray. Father, today, we're going to make it. And Lord, for those who may be going through a storm now, we believe that there's some things that we'll go through in life, but Lord, you are with us. you're on board through all the circumstances that we face, and maybe some may not be in a storm, but there's somehow how life works. We'll find ourselves in a place where it seems like all the other things are working against us. But I pray today through the power of the Holy Spirit that your word would come to us with power, with anointing, with grace, with the unction of knowing that regardless of what we're going through, Lord, you remain with us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Take somebody by the hand, look them in the eyes, tell them this: I know you're going to make it. Go ahead and be seated. You know, it's interesting. When you're in the middle of a storm, survival seems to be the one thing that we will focus on in our surroundings and tumultuous experiences. Oftentimes, we will condition us to either desire to give up or brace ourselves for the next wave with uncertainty about our future. And I know most of us being tossed about by circumstances, you know, you get hit by one wave and you kind of get yourself halfway saved for that, and here comes another one. Isn't it interesting that one of the greatest confessions ever known is found in the oldest book of the Bible, and that's the book of Job? I don't think anybody in this room went through anything close to what Job went through. Anybody who knows the story of Job, he lost everything. He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his wealth. And then his wife had some wonderful advice. Job, curse God and die. She was Jewish. But, you know, so he's thinking, you do want that bit of encouragement. The one woman that's in your life, she's saying, you know, just curse God and die. Probably better off for you. But here's his confession. It goes like this: I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. Which means, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, he's still alive. He knows what I'm going through. He knows the way that I take and the power of, he'll have the last word to say, but he'll stand at the last day. And so simply put, he affirmed that no matter the loss that he suffered, that one day he will see God face to face. And these are the confessions of those who resolve what they're going through in the middle of the storm. Today, I don't have necessarily questions to ask you. I have affirmations for us to make. So I want you to repeat this affirmation after me. Jesus is with me. Now say that with conviction. Jesus is with me. That means he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that's our first confession. The second one is even more powerful. It says, and I want you to say this as an affirmation of your faith. I'm coming out of this better one. Do you believe that? Because see, sometimes it's like, oh, it's only going to get worse. Curse God and die. Die with dignity. No, there's a purpose and a plan for everything that we go through. The third one that we're going to go through, they're going to put it up on the screen. I'll let you read this with us. Number three. Put number three up there. All right, read it. Go ahead. I like that one. Because how would we know unless we've gone through something that God's going to take us through it? He does his best work in the times when we think that everything's not going to work out the way that we thought it would. He does his best work in you. Troubles, yeah, I know that the song is, I'm so glad troubles don't last always, and so am I. But even when I'm in trouble, Jesus does his best work in my life. We go into the scripture that says, well, the first thing I want to tell you is don't worry about the boat. Don't worry about the boat. You know, it's interesting, in the midst of a storm, sometimes we forget about us and we think about all the things around us that are just seemingly falling apart. Let's read the scripture, those verses again, verses 22 through 26. It goes like this. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be there'll be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes I find people, myself included, that we get ourselves involved in trying to save things and not the things that really matter, which is us and the lives of the people around us. And so the issue is, and it goes on a little bit further, it says this, for there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong, whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Do you know, do you realize this, that as much as we think we're going through things alone, you're not going through this alone? Your response to the things you're going through will affect me. It's either the fact that I need to feel like I got to pray more or whatever, or it's the fact that if you're going through with the Spirit of Jesus, it will encourage me through the storm I'm going through, because everybody going through something. Can I get an amen? Amen. We don't have to tell it all. This isn't a tell-all. But everybody's going through something. But as we go through, but the confession is that God's going to take us through it. Well, the other part about it is that there's another little part of the scripture. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that God, that it will be just as he told me. However, watch this. We must run aground on a certain island. You know what that sounds like? Shipwreck is inevitable. That doesn't sound encouraging. An angel told you, you're going to be shipwrecked. Oh, isn't that exciting? No, not necessarily. When God oftentimes will prepare us ahead of time, but you know something? I think many Christians live in perpetual denial. And always, oh, everything's in flowery beds of ease, and Jesus got me covered. And anytime something goes wrong, they just fall to pieces. God has equipped you a lot better than you think. And so when we look into the Word of God, here's a couple of things to take care of. Paul was on board this ship, and God had a plan for Paul's life. But wherever Paul was, whoever was with him was a part of that plan. Does that sound interesting? Do you realize there are some people that are placed in your life that you're a part of their story? I love so much what Patsy was talking about, that she came from a different place, oh, I guess on the East Coast, you know, what was it, Philadelphia or someplace? New Jersey. Oh, New Jersey. Praise the Lord. I've been to Plainfield, New Jersey one time. Years ago. Anyway, so she came out here, and God had a plan for her already prepared. God hasn't forgotten about you and what you're going through. He doesn't say, well, you leave New Jersey, you're done. God is going to walk with you with everything you go through. So Paul was going to go to Rome, and here's the reason why he was going to Rome, because God had a plan for him to in Rome to speak before some people, to bring them to Jesus. Do you realize there are people that are in your life that you're connected to, that you're a part of their story? And so how you respond to things, it makes a total difference. Well, the issue with this too is often the enemy will use a storm in our life to get our focus off our purpose and assignment from the Lord. Your focus needs to come off the storm. Your purpose, your focus needs to be upon, where is God taking me beyond the storm? What is God going to do on the other side of the storm? I know that I get caught up in various times of various situations because I want to try to analyze it and figure out all the nuances of part of it. But think about this. We must allow the Lord to renew our focus when we have been relying, the things that we've been relying upon are falling apart. Can I spend a few moments with this? For some of you who tried to fix things, perhaps like I have, and the more you tried to fix it, the worse it got. The more you tried to add something to it, it didn't work out the way you thought it would. Here's a couple of tips that I think will be helpful to you. In the midst of the storm, relationships that you were relying upon may be suffering irreparable damage. Oh, no. You said, I thought this was going to be an encouraging message. It is. But your vision and God's vision are not always the same. There are some losses that you're going to experience. You say, well, and we'll spend more time to try to keep from losing certain things. And God says, that's not what this is all about. And I'll explain that even more fully. The people that you started out with may fall apart or disappear in your storm. Listen to me carefully. I know of many people, myself included, that tried to interpret circumstances through things that I wanted to happen, through people I wanted to be with me, through situations I wanted to manipulate. And you know what? It didn't turn out that way. Storms are this type of thing where we spend so much time to see what's happening to our ship or the way that we see our life to be. that we can't see what God's purpose might be. Storms will often expose the fact that the season of involvement of certain things or certain people, watch this, are only temporary. Oh boy. Oh boy. When I think about this, you think about the disciples that Jesus had, and there were those who he wanted to go with him into the worst storm. He takes his three most positive people. He says, I want you to watch with me. I want you to go with me to the garden. I want you to pray with me because this is the worst time of my life. How well did they do? Did they watch with him through that the worst time of his life? Come on, work with me, people. Did they fall asleep? How many times did they do it? Three times. But these are his pals. These are his go-to guys. But it didn't turn out that way. I'm not trying to put negative things in your mind, but there's certain things that we have a certain way that we depend on things, and it doesn't work that way through our storm. We have to be totally reliant upon God, upon his spirit, to take you through the storm. I don't think you just shouldn't have close friends, but when we put more reliance upon them than we put upon God, we got a problem. Wow. God did not promise you the ship. He promised you his presence. What does that mean? It means this. Don't try to preserve the temporary. Don't, when the ship falls apart, you don't have to fall apart with the ship. Emotions are one of those things that I wish that I could find the key of how to, you know, kind of keep them intact. And when I think I've got a handle on it, it just doesn't really work out the way I thought it would. Consider this. When we lose some of the stuff that we had or thought was going to be with us, the fact is that we have to be able to release those things to God. My grandfather was probably the greatest mentor I've ever had in my life. He was a man of great wisdom. And he said these words to me one time. He says, wear the world like a loose-fitting garment. You can shake it off anytime. Don't get yourself wrangled up or caught up into things where it holds you to the point, if it's time to shake it off, you shake it off to the particular effect and you keep moving the direction that God is taking you. Well, it's a powerful thing, and that God will use it, and he'll use it powerfully in the lives of those who are willing to trust him and believe him regardless of what happens. Well, if things were meant to stay, excuse me, if things were meant to stay, they could not leave. If they were meant to leave, they could not stay. Ooh. I remember I was listening to a message by T.D. Jakes. He said that particular thing. I said, I got to write that now. I'm putting that in quotes. I put it in quotes. It's not mine. I wish it was, but it's not mine. I ain't that smart yet. There are certain things in your life that God means to be there forever. Really? Of course, now some of you assign those things in life that meant to be there forever. We say, oh yeah, problems are going to be here forever. No, 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 no. Actually, there's certain people in your life that God has assigned, they've given a permanent assignment to you while you're here. However, on the other side of the spectrum, there are certain people that cannot stay even though they want to. And God will move them on. And so that means that the people that you thought were going to ride the storm out with you, they can't stay. And here's the thing about it, the tears and the emotions, and I'm still on this emotional part of us as individuals. We can allow our emotions to overtake what God's trying to accomplish in our lives because we could put our focus on the people who didn't stay that we really want them back. And we're more focused on wanting them back than making it through our storm. Wow. Here we go. Well, storms reveal the power of God's word regarding situations that we face, that he assures us of his presence. But what about this? We must hold on to the things that line up with the word of God concerning our life and purpose. Here's how you desire, or here's how you discern between the things that are supposed to stay and the things that are supposed to leave. What things do you have in your life right now that align up with the Word of God? That's the filter that you've got to use for the things that you hold on to. If they don't line up with the Word of God, let go. And the reason why I say let go is all it'll be is a hindrance to you really hearing and doing the things that God called you to do. You know, it's hard to let go. And I realize that's true. But in this storm, you're going to find a few other things that in perfect illustration that will help you to realize that how they had to let go of those purposes or those things that were happening in your life. We'll get to that in just a moment. The devil will use the presence of a storm to create doubt regarding God's intent and purpose of our calling. And oftentimes, a storm will deflect you from the purpose of God in your life because we'll focus on the storm and we won't focus on the purpose that God had in mind. Let's go back to the scripture for a moment. It says, and my byline to this is, when you are tired in the midst of a storm, don't lean on your emotions. And this is verses 27 through 29. Let's look at those and see what they say. And when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. Next verse, please. And when they took a sounding and found it was 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they took soundings and found it was 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. My question is, how do you stay anchored in the midst of a storm? How do you have the faith to drop an anchor and say, well, it's going to be over at some particular point? Because sometimes we're just wanting to just get out of it some kind of way. And some of us have a suicidal mentality, the fact that, as soon as it's going to be over, we're not going to even try to steady this thing. But I want some of you who are going through a storm today, I want you to take the equipment. You've done some soundings here. Anchor, hold on, and anchor this thing for now. Stop panicking. You're not going to beat the storm. So if you anchor yourself in there, you know, my anchor holds and grips a solid rock. That reminds me of a song. I believe that song was, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid. You know what I'm talking about. It didn't say don't try to escape the storm. Anchor yourself in the midst of the storm. What a perfect thing. Well, when we have a battle for a long time, we need to get an accurate reading of what is really going on, which means the Lord will give us wisdom to use our senses to get an accurate reading of where we are at and what we're facing. Now, do not blind yourself and try to put blinders on. Oh, I don't really want to know. I just don't want to. I want to know. And here's how you know. The Lord will speak to you in the midst of your storm. He'll tell you, hold on, don't let go. Even when the winds are beginning to toss, he says, don't worry about the wind. Remember, your anchor is in me. It doesn't matter what the billows may roll, the breakers may dash, I will not sway because he holds me fast. That's what the Word of God says for us in the midst of our storm. What else does it mean? We must be willing to drop the anchor and pray for further guidance for the next step. Oh, it was just a few days ago I was called into action to some people that were going through a storm. I don't want to give you all the process of it. I don't think it would be fair. But I said, well, what are you going to do? We don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, drop your anchor and let Jesus hold you together. Don't try to escape. Just anchor down and watch God begin to move. Now, interestingly enough, how many days has it been? 14 days they've been out there doing this, and they hadn't, we'll find out later on, but they hadn't eaten anything. Do you know when you don't eat for 14 days, it skews your perspective? You're not on your sharpest time zone. You begin to hear and see things that really aren't real. Just thought I'd bring that up. Let's talk about anchored in the midst of the storm, verses 30 through 36. We're going to get through this, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you. Well, as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. This is something for somebody in this room right now. I'm going to prophesy to you in a moment. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. What? Some of you just want out. But I want to tell you, in the midst of the storm, that's not a good time to get out. But in your mind, you're thinking, I just want to get out of it. I don't care what happens. I just want to get out. No. Because notice it says here, under the pretense. In other words, you won't tell people the whole truth. Under the pretense, well, you know, I don't, you know, we say one thing and we make one confession, and we're not making a true confession of what we're at. And so the Lord knows our hearts, and he knows the things that are going on inside of us. And he says, these people, they're appearing to do one thing, but they're going to try to get off the ship and go on their own. Anytime you go off on your own in the midst of a storm, I can guarantee you one thing, there will be tragedy. Amen. There will be things you thought you could handle that you won't be able to handle. But here's the word, I love this word, this prophetic word. Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. I don't know who I'm saying this to, but listen to me carefully. You need to cut off the ropes to the skiff that you have that you think is going to save your life, because it's not going to save you. It'll destroy you. You need to let go of the plan that you had already got to kind of connive that we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be fine. The devil will get you in the midst of your emotions, and you'll do things that you should not do, and it'll be too late for regret, because you will have made an assignment with the devil, and he will destroy you, because he'll do it in the midst of your storm. Your emotions will take you places you don't need to go. Well, look at a couple other things. To throw out an anchor in the midst of a storm is faith that will survive the winds and the wave. The middle of adversity, the blowing of the wind, we can be assured of God's presence. But the fear of loss may still be with us, and we must rely upon the word of the Lord regarding the ship, even though it's bowing in the waves. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame and wholly lean on Jesus' name. What's the next part say? All other. Wow. He's the only anchor and rock in the storm. As much as we look for other things and other options, they just won't work out. That means the darkness kept them from seeing. And I want to talk to some of you that are in the dark clouds, because you can't see anything in front of you. It seems like the storm, both day and night, there was no differentiation as far as they knew between day and night, because the storm's going all the time. The clouds are black. It might as well have been dark, pitch black all the time, because they can't see anything. But in the midst of all this, the darkness kept them from seeing the land, so the sailors were uncertain about the distance, and they said they'll get their life-saving boat, and they're going to take off on their own, but it wasn't going to work. What does that mean? The Lord has one plan to take you successfully through the storm. And here's one thing that I think that we're prone to. It's called shortcuts. Anybody like a shortcut? You know, you got to get this. Oh, I know a way to get around that. You don't have to do that. Here's a way to do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The word of the Lord is clear and is a promise to those who will believe and abide. And so when they cut the cords to the boat that they were going to use, they got rid of plan B. In order for you to be successful in the things of God, God does not lead doesn't need a plan B. He only has one plan. It's plan A. And you know what A stands for? All to Jesus I surrender. That's the plan A. Well, here we go. We often find encouragement through nourishment. And so the fact of the matter is, after you haven't eaten for several days, you're delirious. And so it's time to take on some food, and we're going to talk about this. And so let's take it from verses, I think we have the verses, yeah, okay. We find through nourishment. Paul took bread, we read this text, and he gave thanks. And he distributed the bread to all of them, and they ate, and they were really happy about this. Does it sound familiar? Breaking bread, giving thanks. I think Jesus did that one time. Amen. Does this sound familiar to you? It was called communion. It was at a time that he distributed this to them. But wasn't it interesting that Jesus was doing this communion thing that as an act of letting the people know that, you know, his body's been is surrendered to them. And he was about ready to go through the greatest storm ever. And yet and still, he broke bread with them. Well, and it turned out as it was supposed to turn out. Let's go on to the shipwreck is sometimes the only way to save your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What does that mean? In verses 39 through 44. And then there's a couple things I believe we need to do before we leave here today. When it was day, they did not recognize land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. I want to stop with that particular thought. Is sometimes you have to purpose to do something that seems like it's going to be the end, or it could be something disastrous. In other words, you're taking the ship, which could be a valuable thing. I don't know, after going through a storm for as many days as they did, I don't think anything was that much salvageable. But they realized at that point, we have to make a decision that we're going to have to run this thing. In order for our life to be saved, we're going to have to destroy what we have been trying to protect.
Amen.
Oh my. How does that register with you? The very thing you've been riding on, the very thing you put your confidence in, the very thing that your life has been all about, that you're going to look for some rocks and you're going to run aground. Does that make sense at all? Because here's the thing that you're facing, that once the ship is torn up, how are you going to get to the next phase of your life? The ship is gone. And I believe that what the enemy does to us, and he does to me, is the very thing I've been riding on, and now I see the only way for me to survive is to destroy it. Then what's next? Here's the faith that God wants to install to some of you right now that are in that situation, that you're about ready to experience shipwreck. You've already tried to re-script your life for the next phase. We have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding. God's got something for you after you run aground. But that's not how we feel. Our feeling is if we destroy the ship, then what am I going to do next? How about if I destroy the ship, what is he going to do next? Because my life is hidden in Christ with God. It's not up to me to figure out. It's up to me to submit to the plan that God's already laid out for us. Oh, man. Well, here we go. You know, it's interesting. I'll go for a little sidebar for a moment. The person who's giving all the instructions for this shipwreck is Paul the prisoner. Isn't that kind of weird? He is a prisoner on ship. He's having visions. He's having dreams. He's having this and he's having that. And he's guiding the whole thing. And he's being held hostage. I want to tell you, the enemy will try to tell you don't know anything. Believe me, you know more than a lot of other folks do. God is talking to you in the middle of the storm, telling you what to do, telling you what not to do, and you have the ability to help other people through their storm. What is wrong with you? God wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you in the midst of your storm, take everybody else through it, and God will get all the glory. Somebody say amen, because that's true. Paul the prisoner, having visions, having dreams. I had an angel talk to me last night. Seriously? Here we go. We must let go of the anchors that kept us in the midst of the storm. Now, here's the fact that, remember, we let down the anchors. At some time, we have to bring them up. And we have to trust God to take us to shipwreck. What does that mean? The only way to get where we're going is to let go and surge forward. Regardless of the wind, regardless of the wave, regardless of the uncertainty. Well, here's a piece that we'll know about. We'll finish the last little bit of those scriptures that we had there. Excuse me. I left you there. You can go back there if you can. Yeah, there we go. And the soldiers were planning to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. Well, isn't that exciting? But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Leave that up there for a moment. I don't care where you are in your ability to make or mobility, but God is still going to get you safely to the land. I don't know whether you're able to do a backstroke, front stroke, chip. Well, I don't know what kind of strokes they make, because homie don't swim, okay? No. We don't swim. No, not me. No, I don't do water. No. I don't do frozen water. I don't do wet water. Comes out of a streamer. That's how it helps me. Praise the Lord. But here's the deal. Someone jumped in the water. I'm saying, go ahead, homie. Do what I'm going to find me a board. Somebody going to take me into the land. And see, you know, I love about that. God's got variety in how you're going to get there. Y'all want to swim? Go ahead. I'm going to find me a plank. But the notice of the thing, everybody got saved. Don't be laughing at me. I'm there with you. Anyway, they all got to land. I got some principles for you here. This is really good stuff. Here's some principles you need to worry about, or actually to work into your life. When this whole event started, I'll go back a week or so, when they ignored the warning of the Lord, God often will give us a second chance. The question is, did they have to go through the storm? Maybe not, if they had listened to Paul in the first place. But how many of you need a second chance? Because you're in the storm. Now, you could have avoided it because God said, you don't need to do that. And all of a sudden, you just say, yeah, but you know. And when we say, but you know, it's over. We're going to do what we want to do. Going through storms will teach us lessons that we probably would not have learned any other way. I do not recommend that you pick out storms. Oh, I just love hurricanes. Cyclones are one of my favorites. Oh, if I could just go through a tsunami wave, it would be wonderful. You're crazy. But God will bring about supernatural intervention in our lives. Now, here's some principles as we're getting ready to close with this thought. Not all storms we go through in life are caused by disobedience. Can I help some of you that are sitting here saying, well, Pastor, are you trying to tell us that every time we go through a storm it's because we disobeyed God, didn't hear his voice, or this type of thing? Can I tell you, no, that's not the reason. Can I give you some solid evidence that will help you to navigate what you're going through right now? Here's a thought to entertain. We will sometimes go through storms because of our obedience and refusal to compromise. There were some Hebrew boys one day, and they found themselves in a fiery furnace because they would not bow down to an idol that was created. But you know, I like the way they did it. They did it with some class. They said, "Oh, king, live forever. Do whatever you need to do. But we are not going to bow down to this idol that you have set up. And our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, it's okay. Because we're not going to bow down." You need to have a resolve within you. No matter what, you're not going to compromise your conviction about God. But I said, get ready for the fiery furnace. But they said, even if we go in there, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. So don't be afraid of what the enemy has set up for you. But you know what's interesting? You know, the king that put him in there, I got to tell this story because it's a good story. And so he puts them in there, and the people that are throwing them in the fiery furnace, some of them died. They get into the middle of the fiery furnace, and you know, they put three folks in there, and they took a look through, I don't know what, they had a little gate in there. He says, "Didn't we put three people in there? Well, we see four people walking around there, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. If you go into the furnace, God will go in the furnace with you." Come on! Don't be afraid of what the enemy's going to do. If it seems like certain shipwreck, God is going to take you through it. Don't ever compromise your convictions. You know, a fellow named Daniel thought he's going to be the lion's lunch. He went down there with the lions. He fell asleep. Didn't worry about it. Do not let the threats of this world intimidate you. Consider these thoughts. Storms will strengthen us and bring us closer to the Lord. Somebody say amen about that. But I like this. Job's confession is in Job 23:10. I love this. Now, this is in the later part of what Job had gone through. This is what he says. "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold." But how is gold refined? It's refined in the fire. You're going to go through some fiery stuff, but you know something? God will refine you there. You'll not be consumed. You'll be refined. If you're going through fire right now, I don't want you to be ashamed. I don't want you to be terrorized, because God will sustain you in the midst of your fire. Well, come on up here, choir. Help me out. Here's my last little thoughts for you. What are the things you're willing to lose in the storm that will save your life in the end? There's three things. Number one, we must let go of excess baggage that we have been carrying around all our life from relationships that have been long gone. Somebody give me a hearty amen. The reason why you can't make it through your storm is you're still holding on to that old stuff, that old whatever is, or whoever she is, or whoever he is. I got a word from the Lord for some of you. Let him or her go. "I'm just trusting the Lord to bring him to Jesus, and we'll have a wonderful life together." You are crazy. If the Holy Spirit said that, that's one thing, but that's just your little wish upon a star, and it won't get you very far. You need to leave that, though. Leave it alone. That's one thing. Right, let me get to number two, because I don't have a whole lot of time. Okay, number two. We must let go of offenses that hold us bondage to things in the past. Do you know why you can't make it through your storm? Because you're bitter. "What? Pastor, I don't believe that's fair. You say that about me being bitter. I'm not bitter, I'm hurt." No, you're bitter. There's a difference between being bitter and being hurt. And you are bitter. Let it go. Here's number three. Let's process this. When we are in a storm, we must be willing to let go of things that weigh us down and could prevent us from surviving the storm. You won't make it through the storm unless you're willing to let go of the things that could take you down in the midst of it. Two things. Paul's first word, let me read it for you. Acts chapter 27, verse 9 and 10. They got the scripture here. "Now, when they had much time, the presence and failing was now dangerous. Because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." That was his first confession. But go to the end of the story, Acts 27, verses 22 through 24. "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life of you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong, who said for sure, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all of those with you.'" Do you want to know what happened between the first verse and the second thing? Prayer. Prayer. The devil has probably set some things out in some of your minds that you're not going to make it. And Paul's first words is, yeah, I feel like we're not going to make it. But after they prayed, and after they believed God, everything changed. I want you to get your hearts and your minds and your spirits in a place where God can talk to you. Everybody bow your heads right now. I am sensing in this room that the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to people and saying, your storm is about to end. Don't give up. Trust me to take you through it. I want to pray a prayer of release over several people here that will say, you know, Pastor, I was struggling just to make it to church today because I thought this thing I'm going through was way too much. But I believe God's going to do something for me today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you believe that, I want you just to stand up. We're going to pray with you. I'm not going to bring you down to the altar, but I want you to stand up right now. If that's what you believe, stand up. And I want you to receive what God has for you. Stand up. Stand up right now. Yeah. Wow. I knew there was faith in this room. Oh, bless God. It's not too late for you to stand up because there's faith in my heart right now for every person that is standing. Yeah. Oh. I'll take 10 more seconds for some people here because I don't want you to miss out on what God has for you. All right. If all you that are standing, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Repeat it after me when I say it. Dear Jesus, even though I'm in the midst of the storm, I know you're with me. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. And this day I declare the storm is passing over. And I believe that you're going to set me on dry land. And I will rejoice in your provision. And I will be a testimony of your faithfulness. And from this day forward, I will walk in faith, and I will declare that your work is done in my life. And right now, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shout out, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Go ahead.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.